So I think we were supposed to start, we want to speak a little bit about, I mentioned last time, we've been discussing Elikim and all those topics. Those are like the central topic, really, of Gittin. And I want to continue with other related questions about Shtaros and Gittin, etc. So the last thing that we discussed was the fact that the Rambam, this is 2 weeks ago, I believe, seems to present the requirement of Edei Kiyum differently in Gittin and Kiddushin, just to mention that for a minute, because it'll be might be relevant to what we're about to discuss. The Rambam in Hilchos Geirushin, which we talked about extensively, is of the opinion that Edei Chasima in a get can serve not only the function of the shtar, of the get itself, but also can serve as Ede Kiyum on the Geirushin. And that he says very clearly in Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Gimel through Tezayin, which we read quite extensively. But we noted that when it comes to Hilchos Ishus, there the Rambam omits Ede Chasima completely. In Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel, when he speaks about the Shtar Kiddushin, he omits it. And in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Geirushin, the Rambam gives an explanation why does he require Edei Kiyum to begin with. The Rambam says that it's inconceivable that this woman who is an Eish HaSish, will through this get become Muteras Lashuk, and that we're going to trust people to say that this happened without any kind of objective verification. And therefore, says the Rambam, that's why you need, edim, and that's why you can't just rely on the parties themselves. So it's just curious. This is my ha'ara, the ha'ara that the Rambam, thinks that Edei Chasima function as Edei Kiyum and Geirushin, and yet in Hilchos Ishus he omits it. That's something that a lot of people noticed. As far as I know, the first one was the Me'iri, who said, yeah, he really distinguishes between them. So does the Marshal, so does the Gra, I mentioned this last time. Whereas other, the more classical Nosei Kelim on the spot, the Lecha Mishnah, the Mishnah Melech, they just say, the Rambam speaks more expansively, Hilchos Geirushin, probably whatever he says there goes here. But it's very striking that he omitted Edei Chasima and Tzav Yado. And as I said, the ones that I mentioned before, the Meiri, the Marshal, the Gra and others say, yeah, he does distinguish. They don't, explain why so much, but this other point is something which is a little more subtle, something that I noticed, and that is that while the Rambam, needs to explain in Geirushin, why you need Edei Kiyum, and he has that explanation, the one that I, was talking about, but I'll just read it in, this is Sanhedrin. We did speak about Sanhedrin last time. Do we also have Geirushin or not? No? Okay. We rely on you.
Retired.
What?
Rambam's retired.
Your Rambam retired. Okay. As long as it's only Rambam retired. Anyways, the Rambam says that, this explanation, he only says it in Hilchos Geirushin twice. Once in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel, the other one in Perek Tes Halacha Lamed Beis, which we'll talk about. And it's very striking because Hilchos Ishus comes before Hilchos Geirushin. So, you'd think that the first time that he would introduce, if that's his explanation of what the Gemara calls Chav Lachrini, the Gemara says that about Kiddushin, then he should have said it right up front. Instead, he presents the requirement of Edei Kiyum as kind of a definitional requirement in Hilchos Geirushin. In Hilchos Ishus. And, thank you so much. And Hilchos Geirushin, I appreciate it. And in Hilchos Geirushin, he finds it necessary to explain it. Again, in Perek Aleph Hilchos Ishus, he doesn't explain it. He just, formulates it as a requirement, of Matan Torah. And in Hilchos Geirushin, he has this line, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel, where he says, "Uminayin sheitnena b'fnei edim." It's in the Maror Makomos from last time. And then he adds, this is his words, V'abo aleho b'misas bezdin ulamachar tia mutaris b'loed. That's something that doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Rambam says, though, these are the Rambam's, you know, added explanation. Like, how can it be? You know, today she's Asura, tomorrow she's Muteris, and we're not going to need proof for that? And then it goes on to explain, but if you have any chasima, things are fine. And then again, in Perek Tes, Sochos Gerushin, Halacha, Lamed, Dalid, Rambam's talking there about if you have a minui shliach la'alacha, the issues that we're going to start talking about. So the Rambam says, one second. I'm sorry, I said lamed dal, but it's lamed beis. Omer la sofer, ksov li get li ishti. A person says to a sofer, you know, prepare a get. Kosov anosno le baal, below edim. So then they do that, and they hand it over to the baal. V'notlo habaal, v'nosno le shliach. So then the baal hands it over to a shliach laholacha. V'omer lo, and he says, ten get zel ishti bifnei edim. Go ahead, deliver this get, and when you give it to my soon-to-be ex-wife, or I do it in the presence of two edim, that would be edei kiyum. V'halach ha-shliach v'nasno lo b'fnei edim, and the shliach does that, and there are no edim in the get, no edei chasima. There are only going to be edei, let's say, mesira. Harezu safek migureshes. Why? Because we don't have evidence that the shliach was appointed appropriately by the Baal. There's no evidence of that step. So therefore, the Rambam says it's safek migureshes, and the explanation is she'ena shliach neman lahatir ha'erva afal pishu eid echad elam ipnei k'savo edim shechasmu ala get she'en k'mishin nechor edusan ad she'yasham ma'ar k'mo she'bi'ardu ve'yivay shama edim sh'neidim she'yidu she'getza abal n'sanu l'shliach ha'rezo migureshes. So it's the same basic explanation. He's saying we can't just rely on the shliach to say that he was properly appointed by the Baal, because, you know, we're talking about being matir, erva, l'shuk. So this is a very interesting phenomenon. What I was trying to suggest was that there are two different, you know, principles that we had been pursuing in Edei Kiyum. One is Edei Kiyum as a defining, you know, requirement, something to elevate the ishus, something to you know, to establish, you know, that the physical action, you know, represents a symbolic, you know, new stature or change of, you know, reality, etc. And that's what the Rambam mostly is focusing on in Hilchos Ishus. And in Hilchos Gerushin, the Rambam is telling you, either in addition or instead, that's a little bit complicated, that there's a different factor, and that factor is being matir isha l'shuk. And in general, this is something that we saw in the last shiur as well. In a way, what emerges from the Rambam in light of the Rajba is very interesting, because the Rajba is the Shitas Yochid in Rishonim, who says explicitly, against Tosis, against the Rambam, that you don't necessarily need Edei Kiyum in Gerushin. He argues that it's not Kavlach Rini, at least in one day of the Rajba. And so in a way, the Rambam is either not agreeing with that, but, you know, kind of a more moderate version of that. The Rambam is either saying you don't need the Edei Kiyum of Hilchos Ishus and Hilchos Gerushin. You need a different version, and maybe that can be accomplished, you know, through Edei Chasima. Because if the point is simply to, you know, provide evidence, you know, and not to take the risk, the halacha doesn't allow you to take the risk. It won't acknowledge the event, as long as it remains, you know, in the category or classification of a risk, of, you know, changing status to be matir and erva, but Edei Chasima, you know, who aren't physically present necessarily at the time of the Gerushin, but they're perfectly good verifiers, they eliminate the risk. We know if they're Edei Chasima because of the, you know, the din of Edus Shebishtar, that a get took place. So this difference between Hilchos Ishus and Hilchos Gerushin, exactly how it works completely, there are some other complications that we're going to try to get back to in a few weeks, but becomes a very important theme. And that basically, the two ideas that we had been exploring, Edei Kiyum as a different category and Edei Kiyum as a, you know, requirement of a debirur. In a way, they're both expressed by the Rambam. One in Hilchos Ishos, one in Hilchos Gerushin. The only thing we don't know in Hilchos Gerushin is, are there two dinim or one din? And that might become important, you know, for other things as well. Either way, the requirement of Eidus and Eidei Kiyum is a critical question that we will revisit. So in light of that, I want to move on to the next topic. And that is a little bit the question of Mepiyam Vlom Piksavam, but also more to the, you know, equally to the point, the din of Reish Lakish. Because all of these dinim that we've been discussing about Eidus Shebishtar really have their roots in two Gemaras, and then the Rishonim and then the Achronim, like, expanded, you know, the statement that appears in the only in these two Gemaras. They expanded it, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say exponentially, maybe that's too much, but they expanded it significantly and made out of it, like, this whole structure of Shtar. So let me explain. So firstly, it goes back to the original Mishnah for a minute. So the Mishnah on the base, we've seen a few times, says that there's a requirement of Bafana Nechta, Bafana Nechta. Mishnah says, Hamevi get mi medina sayam, if you bring a get from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, right? Tzorach sheyomar, Bafana Nechtav, Bafanai, Ubafanai Nechta. So it should be accompanied by a declaration of Bafana Nechta, Bafana Nechta. If you don't, you know, establish, you know, what needs to be established through the words b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, then the process is compromised. The process is incomplete. Okay. So, then the Gemara goes on. It speaks about boundaries. We're not going to get into that at the moment. The last line in the Mishnah, again, is v'im yeshal av orim yiskayim b'chosam av. Let's go three lines. Hamevi get b'Eretz Yisrael, ein tzorach sheyom b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. If within Eretz Yisrael a get is brought, there's no requirement of b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. V'im yeshal av orim yiskayim b'chosamav. And if there is a challenge, we'll call it, to the kashrus of the shtar, we'll see in a moment. So then you have to... you have to basically authenticate the signatures. Okay, so apparently when you have b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, you know, in a case of maybe get mi medina sayam, A, you need it, and B, it seems to solve the problem of irur habal. And the Gemara says this explicitly later on in the Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara says that once there is b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, right, that that will solve the problem, we'll get back to it later, of Irur Habal. But that's the Gemara and Davav on the things. Okay, so there is something called B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam, which is a requirement in maybe get L'chutz Laaretz, and it apparently, according to the Gemara later on, solves the same problem of Orim, of a challenge. What Yiskayim B'chosamav does, B'fanei Nechtam, once it's required, certainly, maybe even if it isn't required, like what happens, let's say you have a get in Eretz Yisrael, and the Shliach happens to say, B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. Okay? Or, we'll get back to this maybe another time, but just for now, there's a debate among the Rishonim, who needs to say, B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. Right? Certainly, it sounds like the Shliach L'Holacha. What about a shliach leKabbalah? You know, what about the isha's shliach? When the isha's shliach receives a get, does that, you know, shliach from the baal, let's say, not from a shliach, does the shliach leKabbalah need to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav? Do they need to say it? Can they say it? The Gemara actually has a discussion on, you know, the Mishnah on Chav Gimel on the base actually says, I'll turn to that for a second, that, you know, the Isha herself should say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, except it's a little bit misleading. Mishnah says, right, af hanashim shenin nemanas lomer meisbala nemanas lahavi yisaget. And then the last three lines in the Mishnah, ha'isha atzma mevia eskita, hu bavad shehi tzricha lomer b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. if the woman herself, you know, brings the get from, you know, Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, she herself needs to say Pfalei Nachta, Pfalei Nachta. If you look at the Gemara in Chavdal and Amud Aleph, so the Gemara says that the two dots, Ha'isha Atzma Mevia, says the Gemara, Isha Mechimata Gita Liyada, Igarshala. What are you talking about? What does that even mean? That the woman brings the get. She doesn't bring the get. As soon as she's given the get in her hands, she's Mugureshes. The Torah says, the Kasav La Sefer Krisos, the Nasam Biyada, and then she's Mugureshes. So what are we even talking about? Says the Gemara, it's a crazy case. The Mishnah is talking about a very unusual case. Omer lo tiskarshi ela b'fnei bezdin ploni. He gives her the get, but he says, I'm giving this get, not a b'toras isha hamakabelas, but I want to delay delay the Kabbalah, you know, till a certain circumstance or time. So the Gemara says, kimati hasam igarshaba. So it's just a delay, but still, you know, her gerushin. So the Gemara says, no, it's even crazier than that. It's Amar Avuda Bar Manoach Mishmed Ravacha Berei De Ravika De Amar La Kimati Hasam Snachde Aara V'Shakli. Then the Gemara says maybe it's Tligitich Malgabe Karka. Basically, what it means is the Gemara basically says the Amar Lehava Shliach Leholach Admatis Hasam V'Chimatis Hasam Shavi Shliach LeKabbalah. Okay, so then basically the case is that the husband made the wife a shliach laholacha for her own get, you know, later to be converted into, you know, a circumstance where she's mekabeles her get, either directly or through a shliach lekabala, etc. So the Gemara says that under those conditions, that's what the Mishnah says, that her isha atzma mevias gita, right, ubavad shetomar, b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta. So there can be cases where she has to say b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta. But earlier, when the Gemara was saying, the Gemara originally said, when they thought that, you know, the woman receives a get and she has to say b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta, and the Gemara says that's ridiculous because, you know, she's mugureshes miyad. So there's no b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta. So there's an interesting issue in the Rishonim. Let's say she does say b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta. Now, the Mishnah says, I mean, the Gemara says she doesn't need to say b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta. But let's say she does say b'fanei nachta. Let's say she receives the get, and right away, or as she's receiving the get, she says b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta. Okay? And then the Baal, or let's say it was given to her by Shliach Laholacha, or whatever it was, so let's say it wasn't, whatever it is, the Baal then claims that the whole thing was mezuyaf. It was a forgery. Right? He's ma'arer. So she doesn't need b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta. But just like in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara seems to say, if someone says b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta, it'll help. So it sounds like it'll help here too, or not. That's like the issue. All the cases where you don't need b'fanei nachta, is there still a chalos b'fanei nachta, if you say it and it helps, or not? And we'll see a little bit later on that b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta, solving a problem of ir or abal is not such a simple matter. Okay. Anyway, so that's the requirement of b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta. We'll speak more about the details and the conclusion of the Mishnah, that in Be'eshal of Orin Yiskayim b'chosamav, and I'm basically suggesting that the Gemara says in Bav Medbeis that if you say b'fanei nachta when you're supposed to, that also solves the problem of ir or abal. And then I'm raising the question in the case of Ha'isha Atzma or other cases, maybe the Shliach LeKabbalah, according to those who say that Shliach LeKabbalah doesn't need to say B'fanei Nachta, B'fanei Nachta. Does B'fanei Nachta, B'fanei Nachta solve Irur Habal, even in cases, you know, just like in Eretz Yisrael, where there's no need for B'fanei Nachta, or no? Okay, these are all things to think about and that we will get back to, yeah.
The Gemara in Bava Mevia is not talking about a case where you don't have to say funny enough.
Also talking in the beginning, it's talking about that case. Yeah, with Kfar Sisai.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even then, it solves a problem. But what emerges from the Gemara, from the Shakuntari, the Gemara in Bava Mevia is that What I'm trying to suggest is, okay, I mean, I'll just say it, but and then we'll get back to it, is if you read just the Mishnah and the Gemara that we're about to read in a second, it could be that the need for b'fanei nechtam is a proactive requirement, you know, all things being equal, to using a get. In other words, you did this get, midaraisa, it's perfectly fine, but unless you say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, in a case of maybe get, you know, medina sayam, then midrabanan, as I say, there's a flaw or a problem, and you can't use the get yet. But and therefore, but if you say b'fanei nechtam, then you have the green light. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean that if the baal is ma'arir, right, that the b'fanei nechtam, you know, will solve the problem. Right, there could be two different issues. One is in the absence of a known challenge or problem, like what is the minimum that we need to kind of substantiate the get in order to use it? That's question number one. And whatever the answer, and if the answer to that is b'fanei nechtam, say the answer to that is b'fanei nechtam, does that also mean, and why? Why do we need to proactively substantiate? Because we're concerned, you know, maybe the baal will be ma'arer. But does that mean that if he actually is ma'arer, then it's sufficient? Right? Not necessarily. And the Gemara seems to say yes. And we'll see in a moment why that's a problem. That's what I'm referring to. Okay. But you're right. The case is a case of Eretz Yisrael. It's a case of Bar Sisai in that whole bit. Right? Vavamud Aleph to Vavamud Beis. The bottom of Vavamud Aleph is a case where the Gemara says... yeah, originally that's what the you know, one second. Yeah. The Rab Chanin, the Mishtoi Rab Kahana, I say Gita Vala Yadana, Yimisur, the Nardon, Minardon, the Surah. Also the Kabbat, the Rab Omerle, Tzarichna, Lemim, Fananakta, Fananakta, Malo. Tzarichna. Omerle, Lo Tzarichas. The E of this Ahani. That's the line. If, you know, you don't need it because it's Eretz Yisrael officially, but if you did it, it works. My yavdis hanes di osib alam aarer, right? Lo mashkechinan de. So there are two chidushim in this. If you look at Tosas, Tosas says yavdis hanes mashen b'fani nachtav moil be'eretz Yisrael. That's chidush number one, meaning you might have said if there's no requirement of b'fani nachtav, there's no chalos of b'fani nachtav, b'fani nachtav. Maybe it's not a legal category. You don't need it. It's not doesn't register, like it's superfluous. And therefore, it's not effective either. So the Gemara seems to be saying that isn't true. Now, is that true for other cases that you don't need it? You know that it'll work. Not so. That's why I'm giving you an example. What about Shlichut Kabbalah? What about Isha? You know, etc. But the second point is that this is the first time that the Gemara says explicitly that if there's an Irur HaBaal, that b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam helps. Now, unless you were trying to ask me, maybe it only helps when you don't need it, but I don't think you're asking me that. Okay, good. Because that I don't think is logical. But, okay, that's why it couldn't be that you would ask that. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. The Gemara says, what is the reason for the Fanei Nechtam, Fanei Nechtam? Something we've discussed already. So, the Gemara says, My Tama Rabba Amar Lefi She'ein Bekiyim Lishma, Rabba Amar Lefi She'ein Oedem Mitzuyim Lekaimo. We've gone over this Gemara because we already did the sugyas on Daf Dalid, you know, Gimel Beis and Dalid Amar Lefi, jumping around a little bit. There are two reasons that are given, right? Rabba says the problem is that in Chutz La'aretz, people weren't, you know, so literate, you know, halakhically literate to know always that you needed Lishma. So we're worried that the get is Shalom Lishma. On that, we're not going to discuss it right now, but I'll mention it for 1 minute. Tosis asks, you know, the question. The Ravid and the Rif ask the same question. All the Rishonim weigh in on this question. And that is, of all the requirements of get, why is Lishma, the one that's singled out, you know, as particularly problematic? Like, you look at Tosis. B'im tomer, ma'ishna Lishma, d'rimasa l'fishem k'in Lishma. Right, d'aim b'kiyin mishar hil hachos gitin. Kegon mechubar, the psul of mechubar, shina shma u'shma, right? Let's say the names aren't accurate. right? Nichta bayom v'nichta balayla, what we call a shtar muktam. There are plenty of psulim, you know, potential flaws, in other words, in the preparation of contract. You have to know contract law, you know, you have to, you know, you have to put in the hours in the library, you know, and have to, you know, do all those things that they do in law school. So why lishma more than, you know, than anything else? So Tosas here, v'ein lomar denokat lishma, d'shchiyak tvei, d'mashkach get sheshmo kishmo, shmo kishma, right? And so on. So Tosas discusses several ideas. The truth is that we mentioned the possibility that lishma in get is a very unique halacha. Maybe this has something to do with it. The Raivi gives his answers, Bali Tosas give their answers, the Ramban at the end of the Masechta gives his answers. But it's very possible that lishma really is a very singular halacha in Gittin. I've mentioned before, and this is part of what I was saying about the Rambam and Eidei Chasim also, is that Gittin is very, what I call, front-loaded as opposed to Kiddushin, in the sense that Gittin is a unilateral process, meaning the Baal can be the Garish, Baal Korcha de Isha. And as such, I've suggested that, you know, while Kiddushin, the focal point is always on the Maisa Kiddushin, that moment. Everything that goes on before that moment, right, the critical popping of the question, you know, the question whether she agrees or not, everything before that it can be perceived as preparatory, right? Let's say, you know, the shtar. Let's say there's a shtar Kiddushin. So the preparation of the document is all preparatory. You know, it's getting the, you know, document up to, you know, proper standard, up to snuff, you know, so that it can serve as a marriage contract should, you know, he finally present it to her and should she choose to marry him, right? But when it comes to Gittin, maybe, this, I think there's a lot of evidence in general, maybe it's a front-loaded process because he can impose his will. And therefore, his decision to get divorced already may be perceived as a stage in Gerushin. I've mentioned this. And I think at that, and therefore, it's not just preparatory. Of course, it's still preparatory in the sense that until he actually, you know, realizes, you know, the actual Maisa Gerushin, until he actually implements it, nothing has happened. But the idea is that since there's like the unilateral nature of the process, you know, may lend, you know, greater prestige and significance, you know, to each of the stages, you know, that constitute a progression, you know, of it. So the gestures, these are like stages in Das Lagarish. So one of the ideas here is that Lishma, you know, in a get, plays that role, meaning the tzivui abal, the, you know, to the sofer to prepare the document, and especially to prepare it lishma, you know, is already an expression of das lagarish. It's interesting, the Gemara in Kiddushin and Daf Tes discusses whether shtar Kiddushin even requires lishma. Ultimately, the Gemara concludes, based on V'yotza V'haisa, that it does. I mentioned, you know, when we were talking about the Rajba and the Ritva, about whether ksavyad works in Kiddushin or only in Gittin, the same issue we're talking about in the Rambam, and where the, you know, Ritva basically says, of course, I mean, you know, if we rely on it in Gerushin, which is Matarisha Lashuk, certainly Kol Shekein, you know, Kiddushin, which is Osir, which is the mentality maybe of that Rambam, also in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel. But that's part of the question. So I keep mentioning that V'yotza V'haisa is a tricky business, you know. It's always a question to ask, especially in shtaros, in Kiddushin in general, but also especially in shtaros, because shtar Kiddushin is derived from Gittin. So, you know, you would think, and that's kind of what the Ritva was arguing also, but then with the Kol Shekein even more so, but obviously the Rajba wants no part of it, and that is, well, if it works in Get, then it should work in Kiddushin, because the whole shtar, you know, wouldn't exist in Kiddushin if not for Gerushin. So take it lock, stock, and barrel, or don't. But the answer is, not so fast, right? Meaning, number one, these are opposite directions. One is being matir, the other is being oser. One is being machnis, the other is being motzi. That's part of the discussions in the Gemara also about applying. Notice that the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Dapay, we talked about it a little bit, right? You know, maybe kesef should be motzi from an ishus, because it's machnis, right? Yotz v'hoisa. And then the Gemara even says at one point, are you going to say the same thing about Kiddushin Bia? You know, so maybe Bia should be motzi. Then the Gemara says, ah, you know, that's crazy. You can't say that. But it highlights the problem, meaning, you know, either they're parallel, you know, or they're opposite. Okay. So similarly, it's an interesting shock. It should have been a no-brainer in the Gemara, you know, that you need Lishma in Shtar Kiddushin, because, you know, the whole Shtar Kiddushin learned out from Shtar Gerushin. And one of the important features in Shtar Gerushin, of Kasav La, is that you need Lishma. And that is the Maskana of the Gemara. That's the Maskana of the Halacha. But if you ask me, I would have said that, you know, well, that's true. However, maybe part of the requirement of Lishma and Gerushin is the fact that the Das Lagarish, you know, is such a, you know, unilateral, you know, progressive, you know, force, you know, that the, you know, these seemingly what's a preparatory stage in Kiddushin is, you know, is a stage of, you know, a further progression in the crystallization of the Das Lagarish, or a further step towards, you know, implementing Bal Korcha, the actual Gerushin in Gerushin. So the idea that, you know, maybe there would be no Lishma in Kiddushin, or, you know, there is Lishma in Gerushin, it's actually very reasonable, you know, idea. So, you know, the fallback position, since we say there is Lishma, you know, in Kiddushin like in Gittin, is that maybe they aren't identical in every way. There may still be aspects of Lishma, you know, in Gerushin. For example, there is a whole discussion, the sugya later on in Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and the parallel Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin and Daf Nuntes, whether you can be Mevatel, whether the Baal can be Mevatel a get after it's already written. By which I mean, not whether he can be Mevatel the giving of the get, but whether he can be Mevatel the chefs of the get. There's also a question whether his effort to be Mevatel the shliach of the get doesn't automatically Mevatel the get. So maybe we'll talk about this topic, so hopefully, speak more about the shlichios and so on. But my point is as follows. So the Balei Tosis in Kiddushin and in Gittin, and then all the Chachmei Sfarad pile in, they all ask the same question. Question is, how could a Baal be Mevatel a Cheftza Shel Get? Okay, maybe let me again explain what I mean. Not whether you could give the Get, but whether you can Mevatel the Get. Meaning, let's say he was Mevatel the Get, and then he changed his mind again and he decided to give the Get. Can you use that get? That's the question, right? If you hold you, there is you can be mevatel the chafza shall get. That means that once you're a mevatel it, if you change your mind and you want to get divorced, after all, right? You need to commission a new get. You can't use the old one because the lishma is, you know, is done for. So the Rishon Uman, Balei Tosis, asking quite a thing like, how could he? What does that mean? He can be mevatel. He can decide whether to deliver it or not, but he can't. Can a sofer, this is the question they ask, can a sofer be mevatel the lishma of a sefer Torah once he wrote it? You need lishma in the ksiva sefer Torah. Okay? Let's say he did it. You know, and then an hour later he was, you know, he was upset about something. He didn't get into, you know, enough. I'll leave to everybody's imagination why he was upset. We can all imagine different scenarios. Right? So he wants him mevatel the lishma. Can he do that? No, because it's finished, it's done for. So, how can this happen here? So some of the Rishonim say, yeah, you're right. That's why he can't do it. And there are two girsos. You know, one is, you know, does he mean to be mevatel? The other is he can't be mevatel, even if he means to be mevatel. But the Rambam, for example, and some of the girsos in the Gemara and some of the Balei Tosis, they can. So they're scrambling around to explain, you know, why it is. You know, that you can mevatel lishma of a get, but you can't be mevatel lishma of a sefer Torah. So one of the things the Balei Tosis say is, you know, when it comes to a get, the lishma, it comes to sefer Torah, the sofer, you know, he invests, you know, lishma in the Sefer Torah, and, you know, then it's done, it's finished, you know. Of course, yeah, you know, it's good to have to read from the Sefer Torah. Let's say you never read from the Sefer Torah, right? It's still a chafetz shel Sefer Torah, right? But when it comes to the purpose of the get is to be given. So until you give it, it's kind of like an open, you know, it's an open, there's still an opening there. Little shma is a shame to give.
Maybe he didn't finish the Sefer Torah. He's a Vayikra and he's a Batal the Sefer Torah. There's no Kedusha Sefer Torah.
Sorry? I don't know whether he can be Mevatel.
Okay,
that's an interesting, you're asking a different question. Let's say, you know, does it matter, you know, if he hasn't finished the Sefer Torah? But can he be Vatal, you know, the psukim that he wrote Lishma till now? Probably not. I mean, definitely not. I mean, it's, you're asking a good question, but I mean, I think the answer is still no, right? You know, you invest Lishma in the Ksiva Sefer Torah as you're writing it, right?
Yeah, but there's no Kedusha Sefer Torah until we finish it.
Okay, but there is, you know, but these letters still were written Lishma. But I'll give you another suggestion in a minute. But anyway, the point is that what Sotosa says, you know, that it's a, so I think that's very interesting.
Where is this Tosis?
What?
Where is this Tosis?
Tosis on here. Why should we speak so abstractly, I guess? Lamed Beis, Samed Beis. Here, this, so just look at the Gemara for a minute. The Gemara says, here, Lamed Beis, Samed Beis, and Asholayach, the Gemara says, Chozer Megarishbo, or Eino Chozer Megarishbo? Right, if you're, you know, can you be, if you're Mevatel, the giving of a get, can you take that same get and just, you know, change your mind and use it or not? So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Mar Chozer Megarishbo, Rav Sheshes Omer Eino Chozer Megarishbo. Okay, but that's in a case where you're trying to basically cancel the shliach laholach. And the question is, does that affect the get? So the Gemara says, V'hilchus HaKavaseid Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, Eini HaKaimel HaHilchus HaKavaseid Rav Yochanan. Domar Chozeres. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hachi Hashta. Hasam Dibor V'Dibor Hu. Hasa Dibor Mevatel Dibor. Hacha Nei DeBatle L'Shichuse DeShliach Gita Gufa Mika Batel. That's one girsa. Okay, gufa again. Nei de batla lishlichusay de shliach gita gufa mika batel. Good. If you look at Tosus says, do they have it here or not? Look at the second one first, even though the one I'm interested in is the first one. Hasam dibor v'dibor mitoch halashon mashma afilu bitla beferush ena mevutal midkamer hasam dibor v'dibor hu. So even if you try to explicitly be mevatel get, it wouldn't work. Get gufa mi kabatel, mashma de ein lakoach lematel. Aval bekidushim perika omer, breisha omer. The same shakavataria, but the girsa is different. Ein sham kol zarichus v'kasa bekalas farim ne de butle mi toras shlichus mi toras get lo butle, meaning not that he can't. But he doesn't mean to. If he's trying to be mevatel the shliach laolacha, that doesn't mean that he's being mevatel the get. Mashma dim bitla beferush, mod Rav Nachman the batel. Chein tzor chlamar the get lo chashiv maisa kol zman shelo higi aliyada isha. Whoa, that's an interesting. That's part of the comment. You hear? As long as the get doesn't reach the isha. Right, kolzman shelo yigi aliyada isha lo chashiv haget maisa, the lavachi tiksu the rav sheshes, and so on. So, I always thought that, like, is that true, no matter what, and is that kol shekain true in kiddushin? Let's say you have the same case in kiddushin. You have a you created a shliach, so you created a shtar with lishma because we paskin you need lishma, right? And then you are mevatel it. Right? Would that work? Would you say, oh, you know, because until you actually deliver it, it's not really, you know, complete as a cheftza. So you might say it's the same thing, not so saying it's different. I can imagine there might be different. Why? because it might be better, it might be worse, but it might be different. You know, why might this idea only apply? Because the, as I said before, in Kiddushin everything is preparatory. So the cheftza of the get being complete is not looked at as part of the process of being, I'm sorry, the Kiddushin. The cheftza shel shtar Kiddushin being complete, because you created it, you wrote it properly, and it was written lishma, right? But no one thinks of the, you know, preparation of the creation of the shtar Kiddushin as part of the Kiddushin. What we think of it is as what it really is, which is you're creating. It's like, you know, fashioning, you know, or creating the Shava Pruta, you know. So, and now you're going to use it at the right time. And, you know, everything will focus, you know, all the spotlights will be, you know, on the moment when he, you know, pops the question. Okay? But the Cheftza Shel Get is a Hechsher. The Shtar is a Hechsher. And the Shtar, as a Hechsher, was completed. It's ready to go. But when it comes to Gerushin, and I think this is true about Minui Shliach LaHolacha and Bitul Shliach LaHolacha, maybe we'll get a chance to speak more about these things. I think everything in the process of Gerushin potentially, you know, is just looked at in a different way. And there's an irony a little bit, you know, in it. Meaning the preparatory things are part of the Gerushin in a way, even though they're not, you know, the final, they're not irrevocable, you know, until you actually give, you know, there's no chalos until you actually hand over the get properly. But the point is that along the way, it's like you're building, you know, the das lagarej, because you could do it. It's beyond midoraisa to do it. It's a unilateral activity. And therefore, you know, it's all about, just, you know, the next step or this progression of your, you know, implementing your unilateral will, you know, to do this. As such, instead of looking at the shtar, Gerushin is like a closed lishma book, you know, as a hechsher, we're looking at it more as like, you know, oh, like, you know, a more, the next intense expression, you know, of das, you know, lagarish. But it, ironically, since it's all connected, it's front-loaded and it's more, but it's front-loaded and it's more because it's connected to the actual ultimate, you know, Gerushin. So it's also more of an open book. You know what I'm saying? I should mention that the Rav had a different take on this part. He too thought that Lishma and Get, you know, might have to do with Das Lagarish. But I don't know if so much connected to Balkorcha or a bigger, but it's, as far as this particular thing is concerned, and there are different languages in Rishonim, but it might depend on that. The Rav thought there was something else that you could say, and that is that the Sofer in a Sefer Torah is not the Bailim of the Sefer Torah, right? And certainly not after he completes the Sefer Torah, or whatever part of the Sefer Torah that he's writing. And as such, you know, he doesn't have the ability, you know, to retract his Lishma. He's basically a means to an end. He's a vehicle for creating, you know, the Chafetz Shol Sefer Torah and its Kedusha and its Lishma. You know, but he's not the Bailim over it. He has no Yichus. It's not like his Sefer Torah, you know. On the other hand, the Baal in a get, you know, the Lishma and everything about it is being created for him. He is the Bailim, and he now chooses whether to give this get or not. He's not emphasizing what I was emphasizing, even though they overlap. I'm saying more it's like this is, you know, unilateral march. You know, it's all about completing, you know, his will or implementing his will, and therefore along the way these are stages as well. He's saying something a little bit different. He's just saying that, you know, Lemaisa, now what the Rav is saying may be true about, would be true about Shtar Kiddushin, for example, as well. What I'm saying might be true only for Shtar Gerushin. Anyways, there are all sorts of interesting issues when it comes to Lishma, including, frankly, the sugya that we spent some time on already on Dav Dalid, and that is, you know, Moda Rav Elazar ben Mezuyef Mitocho. The idea that, you know, is Lishma connected, you know, specifically to Ksiva or Chasima, depending on Rav Meir and Rav Elazar, or is it to the davar hakores, whichever one you happen to use, or is it anything that's part of the ksiva? How expansive are we, you know, in applying, you know, things like modra b'lazer b'mziyaf mitocho, you know, even to things like lishma, or the question of stama lishma. The Gemara's beginning of Zvachim discusses, you know, the relationship between lishma in a korban and lishma in a get. All sorts of interesting things. Why was I telling you all this in this context? And there's so much more to say about it. So going back to Tosis's question, meaning the Gemara says you need b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Rabba says you need b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam because of lishma. I'm sorry, yeah. And Rava says because of Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaima, which we're going to get to in just a second. So I was pointing out that Tosis and the Ravid and the Ramban, all the Rishonim, and it's a question that, you know, just arises naturally, organically, and that is why Lishma? If there are, you know, 10 different requirements or 15 or 7, whatever it is, if there are 7 requirements of a get, you know, why are we particularly concerned about Lishma? So some of the answers in the Rishonim are, Lishma, there's less literacy on Lishma, there's more room for error on Lishma, things of that sort. There could be all sorts of explanations. But I'm not going to go into all the answers. Even Tosis here has some interesting answers. But what I was suggesting is maybe Lishma is something that is particularly, on the one hand, Lishma is not a din in the shtar at all, because a typical shtar doesn't require. If you're talking about general Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Meir, Edi Mesira, Edi Chasima, etc. I mean, if you, you know, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar dictate whether it's the Ksiva, the Chasima, in terms of the psukim, but the din of Lishma generally is not a prerequisite. You know, it's not a factor in universal, you know, contracts. Not even Shtarei Kinyan, like Mechira. You know, Eved Kenani is a different story. You know, that again, where there's a tzad iser in certain kind of a transaction, but it's not a din in shtaros per se. But it might very well be, you know, that it has an additional role to play in the Gerushin, in light of what I was saying, as an expression of Das Lagarish, as an early expression of Das Lagarish, and that may affect many of the Dinam of Lishma. Okay, that's one point. The second, however, Rava, as I say, basically says that the reason for Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam is the problem, if you look here, Rava Amar Lefishein Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo. Ein Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo means that we're worried about authenticating the Shtar in a situation where, we either there's a challenge or we're worried about a challenge or we're just worried about proceeding, right, in the absence of, you know, substantiating, you know, that this is really a substantial document. Okay. So the Gemara basically challenges this, both for Rabba on Lishma and for Rava, you know, in Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo. We can skip to the Rava part because that's what we're going to focus on it for the next couple of, you know, for a little while. So if you look here on Gimel Amud Aleph, it's the same question the Gemara asked earlier on Beis No Beis. We'll have to discuss this also. This is an Eidechad B'Surim question. So the Gemara says the following. This is on the what is that? Fifth line? Sixth line? The Larava Dhamma Lafi Shane Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo, says the Gemara, Liboy Trey. The same question the Gemara asked about Lishma. Why do you get away with one, a Shliach, who comes to Bez, and he says, B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. Right? But if we're worried about Kium Shtaros, you know, that is something that should require two Eidim. Right? Liboy Trey. Mididahava Akim Shtaros di Alma, right? Typically, in any situation where a contract requires authentication, it requires two witnesses to authenticate the signatures. So why here can a single Shliach proclaiming B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam, which is, oh, there's no problem, that's a form of verification according to Rava, why is that sufficient? Says the Gemara, no, it's Eidacha Nehman Bisur. Says the Gemara, that's not Eidach Ladama Bisurim. Eimer Damrinan, Eidach Ladama Bisurim, Kigon Chaticha Safek Chelev, Safek Shuman, the lowest Chazak Yisura. The reason Eidach Ladama is Naman Bisurim is because you have something which, you know, is kind of neutral, and you're trying to identify it. You have a Cheftza. It's, you know, Safek Chelev, Safek Shuman. If it's Chelev, it's Asur. If it's Shuman, it's Mutter, but you don't know. It doesn't have a history, basically. It has a suffix, but no history. There's no status quo ante. There's no cheskas iser. So there we say, Eidachot nam bisurim, and Eidachot could step forward, and he could not override, right, but he could establish in the absence of, or in the context of neutrality, basically, he can identify what the chefetz is. Aval hacha is kazak isura, the eish asish. But here we're talking about a case where she's an eish asish and we're talking about changing her status al yaday a get. Correct? So if that's the case, we are trying to override the status of eish asish, and that's not erachonem bisurim. What it is, well, we'll go through this gemara again very closely when we talk about erachonem bisurim. But just the reading of the Gemara for now. What it is davar shebe'erva. Have a davar shebe'erva. Right? The ain davar shebe'erva pachos mishnayim. And therefore, we're back to, you know, back to where we were a minute ago, which is, how can a single shliach, right, be neman to say b'fanei nechtam, thereby doing the equivalent of kiyum shtaros, when the din Torah, right, is on erva, which requires two edim, and therefore the authentication should require two edim. Says the Gemara, "Bedinu debikim shtaros nami lo libay." The reason is because midoraisa, you don't need any verification. Why don't you? And here's where the Gemara invokes Kiddush Lakish. You don't need any verification in the use of a shtar midoraisa because of Reish Lakish, who said that edim achasumim al ashtar nasu kimishanech goridus of the bezdin. That edim, who are the signators of a contract, are treated as if they had undergone the process of interrogation of drisha v'chakira in Bezdin. The reason I translated it, you know, even though everybody knows what all this means, is to try to make a point, which is just, you know, we, you know, are familiar with Reish Lakish. We've been speaking about him all year, and, you know, many of you have heard of Reish Lakish, I'm sure, you know, many years before this. And therefore, like most things that we are, you know, they come trippingly off our tongue, and we're familiar with them. You know, there's a certain underappreciation just for how, like, innovative they are, just because we're familiar with it. You know, it's a little play, I guess, on the Mesilas Yesharim. But this idea that, you know, people whose names are signed into a shtar, it's as if they underwent, like, a rigorous interrogation, is obviously a colossal chiddush. Because they didn't undergo an interrogation. And not only that, but as we've been saying all year round, you know, as far as we know, you know, either we're dealing with a forgery or we're dealing with witnesses who signed before the event, you know, which wouldn't be scandalous. That's the typical. The typical is, right, Kosvin, Shtar, Lilova, Apalpi, She'ina Malva, Imo, or Kosvin, Shtar, you know, Labal, even though the Isha's not with him. Meaning, it's not at all unusual or problematic for the, you know, people to sign the shtar before the event and never to be present for the event. That's why Ede Chasima, you know, that's what we were discussing, you know, the theme. Can Ede Chasima be Ede Kiyum? They're not even there, right? They're there virtually. They're there as ink on a piece of paper. They're there, you know, they provide a raya for what took place, but they weren't actually there. The living, breathing people weren't there. So Reish Lakish, you know, who is such a foundation in Shtaros, you know, articulated this in as like aspirational a way as anybody ever could. You know, he doesn't just say, oh, the Edom, they didn't see it, but there are Edom. He says, you know, these are Edom who have been interrogated. So they won't go from the reality of not even seeing anything, and maybe even less, for all we know, they're just, you know, they're a forgery, you know, to being like the most, you know, rigorous, you know, Edom that you could conceive of, right? Like a Dini Maminis, you know, midaraisa you need drisha v'chakira. Midrabanan we say shalom tinal delos b'fnei lavin. They drop the drisha v'chakira. But you know, if you have Edi Ishtar who saw nothing, you know, there k'mishanech k'ray do some bebezdin. So the application here, more specific. So the language number one is just shocking. Familiarity should not, you know, make us insensitive, you know, to the chiddush is one number one. How far and how, you know, seriously do we mean it? And the application, as we'll see, is also shocking. We'll get to that in a second. So then the Gemara, but just to finish the shock of the Tanya, so the Gemara basically says, because of Reish Lakish, this unbelievable Kiddush, my words, my addition, because of Reish Lakish, right, you don't need any Edim, Minat Torah. And since you don't need any Edim, Rabbanan Huda Atzrich, it's a rabbinical requirement, to have you know authentication, kiyum shtaros. It's only drabanan. V'hachi mishum aguna akilu barabanan. Since it's only a kiyum drabanan, and we don't want to hold up women who want to proceed with their lives in the aftermath of receiving a get, right? So mishum aguna, we're mekel, and we said you can get away with a shliach saying b'falinach. Then again, like the Gemara earlier in Lishma, the Gemara says, are you sure? Like, we understand the goal, and we applaud the goal, and that is, you know, to promote, you know, the, you know, continuity of life, you know, for a woman who otherwise would be stuck. You know, we applaud that. But are you sure that you're accomplishing that by lowering the standards? Again, this is like a critical, you know, very typical meta-halachic, meta-legal question in any system. You lower standards in order to facilitate certain, you know, outcomes, because the outcomes, you don't want to, you know, gum up the works, you know, by having too many, you know, requirements. You know, then you paralyze the system. But the second you do that, it's like, you know, bank regulation. The second you do that, you know, are you doing a favor to the system, or are you losing confidence in the system? That's haikulahu. If you were actually to impose higher standards, then the Baal would be discouraged because there's so much formidable evidence. You know, he'd be unlikely to challenge it. You know, so you know, facilitating and helping, you know, can sometimes have unintended, you know, counterproductive consequences. And we know this to be the case. This is true in general. And I was making this. We'll get back to this anyway. But you know, we have a principle at certain times we're makel shalotinol delos b'fnei lavin. So mostly lotinol delos b'fnei lavin, you know, it actually helps the malva. But the goal is for the lova. It's an interesting thing. In other words, we don't want people to hesitate or to abstain from lending money to other people. And we're worried that if you have too much regulation, you know, too many obstacles, you know, that you put in their way, they'll say, like, what do I need this for? You know, and I won't make my capital, you know, accessible. So why do you want, you know, a free flow of credit? You know, the answer is that it's beneficial to, you know, to the debtor. Right, but usually, not always, but usually, the din of shalotin al deles is to make things easier for the malva. So, are you a debtor guy or a creditor guy? Right, and people think that way. Like, you know, are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? I guess. So, but the answer is, if you're, you know, operating a responsible system, right? So in the end of the day, if you over, you know, legislate, you know, on behalf of one group, you know, you end up damaging that group also. So the Chachamim understood that in order to help Lovin, you better have standards that are favorable to Malvin. But sometimes sometimes you go too far with that, and that's not, you know, consistent with the goal. That's why sometimes you have Lotin Aldelis in the opposite direction. Anyway, so that's what's going on here. That's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, you know, you're going to invite more irurim because you're making flimsier the standards of proceeding. So then the Gemara ultimately concludes, Kiva Domar Mar Bifnei Kama Nosnola, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, Chad Omer Bifnei Shnayim, Chad Omer Bifnei Gimel, since the Nesina has to be in front of two or three people, Mikara Meidak Dayak Velo Asi La Ruei Nafsha. Even though the standards are, you know, more flexible, we're not concerned, you know, that they're not going to be rigorous enough. That's the Shaklam Tari of the Gemara. So what I want to zero in on is this Din of Reish Lakish. So to note two things. Our time is almost up, but I'm not going to, you know, inflict, you know, my late coming, you know, on you. So, you know, I'm, you know, trying to finish the regular time. So basically, the number one, we should understand what this is, you know, all about. So it's not only that Reish Lakish, you know, his formulation, you know, is just, you know, reflects like an extraordinary, you know, expansion of Shtar. Like, not only is it Eidos, even though he didn't see it, you know, it's interrogated Eidos, right? It's even more than that when you think about it. Because what's the context here? The context here is the chashash of Ziyuf. Namely, we're worried, you know, that maybe this whole thing is a fraud. Maybe it's a forgery. Maybe it wasn't commissioned by, you know, the Baal or signed by the Edim. So what's the Gemara saying? It's no problem, Reish Lakish. Meaning there's a catch 22 or a certain circularity, you know, that is inherent in this whole problem. Namely, if I have a shtar and I have Edim Shem B'shtar, so, you know, Reish Lakish is already being Mechadesh, a double Kiddush, right? A, that they're Edim, B, that they're Edim, you know, with Drisha V'Chakira. But the whole point is we don't even know here that it's a shtar. Right? That's how remarkable Reish Lakish is. Now, again, Rashi tries to address this question by saying, you know, that there's an umdana. If you look here at Rashi, he says, one second, just a bebezin. It's interesting. He puts it on this dibrum. De lo chotzif inish lezufe. So, lo chotzif inish lezufe is an umdana. Right, people don't have the chutzpah, you know, to forge a contract. Right, Sunday. There's a whole article, you know, about how people, you know, should probably stop sending checks through the mail because everybody is intercepting. I had this happen to me just very recently. You know, people are intercepting checks. You know, and then there's a whole, you know, I guess, mechanism of how they steal people's checks. So it's like five times, you know, in the last year or something, it's like quintupled, you know, check fraud or check forgeries. So I don't know about Rashi. You know, I guess they lived in a better society. But Rashi said, like, no one would have the chutzpah to do this. Not no one, but, you know. But wow. So is that Eidos or is that Umdana? Right? So this is Reb Chaim's big chiddush, which we'll talk more about, which we've already spoken about. And that is, Reb Chaim was of the opinion that the din of Reish Lakish has the force of Eidos, meaning legally, it's like what I call, the way I explain it, a kind of blank check of Eidos, meaning when the Mischayev agrees, let's say the Lova says, you know, write up a contract, you know, and, you know, he signs Edom to it, you know, he's committing himself to treat this contract, you know, assuming that it ends up in the hands of the identified malveh, he's basically committing to treat himself as this is as if there was edim who had a chakira and a drisha, right, who are substantiating this transaction. And that is the force, according to Reb Chaim, based on Rishonim, of Eidos. But it wouldn't have the force of Eidos, this is my addition, Reb Chaim doesn't say this, but I believe that this has to be said. It wouldn't have the force of Eidos if it first didn't comport to the umdana, you know, of chazakos and robes. So what Rashi says is very crucial, because of the catch-22, you know, the circularity of it. What do you mean? You know, it's a blank check of it's only a blank check of Eidos with Dasa Mischayev if it really came from the Lova, right? If it was forged and the Eidim are a fraudulent signature and the Lova, right, never committed and created this blank check of Eidos, then it's nothing. So what you have in Eidos Shebishtar is a fascinating combination. Even if you say it's Eidos, I'm working with that as being the primary idea, even though certainly some Rishonim didn't work with it, and certainly many Achronim didn't work with it, we'll get to that, is that you have a combination, you have like a foundation of plausibility, like this is plausible, and, you know, not just plausible, probable, because of an umdana, and therefore we treat it legally as Eidos. That's the Chiddush of Reish Lakish. So just to take a step back for a moment, we're going to stop here, but it's fascinating to say this, you know, Reish Lakish kind of became, even in the kind of Rishonim, you know, an expanded, as I say, you know, statement, and one which, you know, for some, like really embodies the whole institution of Shtaros. But actually, what's fascinating about it is it appears only twice in all of Shas. One is here, which is hugely mechudash. And the other one is in Masachet Ksuvos, which we'll pick up with that next week. But in Ksuvos Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara talks about the principle of Kivin Shehigid Shuvan Achozer Magid. There the Gemara says that if Edim are signed on a shtar, right, to Mishnah, on Yud Ches, and then they come and they come to court and they say, you know what, we were anusimayinu, right, we were pressured into it. It's not really an authentic shtar. So, all things being equal, they can't back out of their Eidos by making that claim. Right? Why? Because we have a rule in Eidos, not only in Eidos Bishtar, in Eidos Alpeh. Right? Kivin Shehigid Shuvan Achozer Magid. Like if Edom come to court and they testify, and then, you know, a day later, an hour later, a month later, they come and they say, you know what? We weren't telling the truth. You know, or we thought it over and we realized that we were wrong. Kivin Shehigid Shuvan Achozer Magid. But that's only when there's real drisha v'chakira. Meaning, if before drisha v'chakira they retract their eidos, that's fine. It's only, right, after drisha v'chakira that we say, kivin shigit shuvin achozer magid. So the Gemara says, and so we'll read it next time, the Gemara says that when it comes to eidos bishtar, the chasima is like eidos and drisha v'chakira, and therefore they can't back out. So it's fascinating, this we'll pick up next week, that the Ritva here on Dav Gimel Amid Aleph in Gittin asks, Reish Lakish has told you a din that there's no such thing as a forgery and that you need Kiyum Shtaros only Midrabanan? He didn't say that. He said, Kivin Shigit Shuvin Achozer Magid. All he said was, if you have Eidos and it's accepted that it was Eidos and now they want to back out, they can't do that because it's Kamish Nechra, just of the Bezdin. But where did he ever say that Kiyum Shtaros is only Darabana? That's an interesting question, and the answers are interesting. So we'll pick up with this, and whether there are exceptions to Kiyum Shtaros Darabana, and this problem of circularity, what is the scope of the din of Reish Lakish, and how exactly does it work, and how does that fit in with also the PM Balam Piksav? Well, that's what we'll discuss in the next couple of years.